listening to a special edition of the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. We have a special ASWSU presidential and vice presidential election edition. In the studio with me, I have Joe Fortunato and Ryan Wingfield. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having us.
Great. So, go ahead. Spend a couple seconds, introduce your guys' self. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for ASWSU.
Okay, I'll start that off. My name is Joe Fortunato, like I said. A couple of reasons why we're running. I mean, I guess you started off with the fact that when we were kind of looking around to get involved earlier in the year, we found that it was pretty much, there's a lot of hard, kind of a hard process. And a lot of things, lots of people don't know what's going on. And a lot of the stuff's pretty convoluted. Like, even if you just look at the how the presidential candidate election has been run thus far, it's been a little difficult. Starting off, I mean, you have to fill out the form and do all the stuff on the form. And then about 4 days into the election, they say, oh, by the way, we cut your spending in half. And they had like a whole year to fix that because it was passed by referendum the previous election. But things like that where it's listen, you call up the office and no one really knows what's going on. Things like that really prompted us to actually run. And I took sign language with Ryan last semester, so we decided to put our heads together and actually step up and try and make a change on that.
Yeah, just as he said, is we really feel like that the current ASWSU isn't really doing a good job of facilitating the needs and making themselves aware to the students. It's kind of like an invisible process, and what we really want to do is just bring back the visibility of ASWSU so students know what we're about and know where they can get a hold of us and know that we can represent them, because really that's all we're trying to do is be the voice for the common student, and we think we represent that better than anyone else.
Alrighty. On your website, which is located at www.voteforwig.wing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, nice and close. There you go.
www.voteforwing.com.
Wing. There you go. WING.com. There you go. That's your website. You have information about yourself, the biographies, your, what's the word I'm looking for, your issues
yeah.
page. All that kind of stuff is found on your website online, so people can go there and read a little bit more about what we're going to talk about today.
Great.
And the first thing, on your website, you said that many people on this campus are underrepresented. What specific people are you talking about?
Well, for one thing, there's a lot. When you look at the off-campus people and even just the residence halls, many of the, just the groups and clubs, because in the multicultural debate, we found that many of the groups and clubs that are out there really hadn't heard much from ASWSU, and some of them didn't know how to actually get funding. So one of the things we're looking at doing is giving workshops and that sort of thing so that way they know what's available, they know what funding is available. When you talk to off-campus students, many of them just feel completely alienated. Ryan and myself live off-campus, and you sit there and you just there's just you're missing that link between the student body, the rest of the student body, and the off-campus students. Additionally, we went to Straight Parent. We did a little question-and-answer period with some students down there, and they about half the kids knew who ASWSU was and what they did, and like about half of that knew when the elections were. So, I mean, when you're talking to just kids like us around campus, it's really, I mean, there's such a big disconnect there. It's unbelievable.
And another part of the student body Joe didn't mention is the Greeks. We've really been working hard to kind of end the stigmatization that goes along with being Greek, because we really feel like that they do give back a lot to the university, and the university doesn't really take notice to that. You know, they're some of the biggest supporters at our games. Their alumni donate some of the most biggest, they're the philanthropists that donate a lot of money back to the school. So another thing we just want to do is kind of like break down that wall and create good press relations that, you know, where students can appreciate the Greeks and what they do for the campus.
Okay, each year we hear the same kind of claims of underrepresented people, and every year the ASWSU president and vice president tickets want to do something about it. Yet each year, during the election process, we hear the same groups are still underrepresented. Compared to past ASWSU presidents and vice presidents, what are you going to do if elected, and how will that be different from other tickets that are running this year?
Let me jump in on this one. Actually, I think the thing that separates us from the other tickets is the fact that the other tickets are currently involved with ASWSU, so if you want to put the weight of a blame on anyone's shoulders, I think it can be directed that way, because we are not currently involved, and that's why we think that we could bring a new fresh look and a new fresh face into this administration and you know, start from scratch, basically.
One of the things we did when we were thinking about running is we went and made an appointment and talked to Zach Wirtz and Janine, and they were very helpful in helping us flesh out some of this. The thing is, like, they were very accessible, but the thing is many students they shouldn't really have to go to their government. Their government, when it comes right down to it, the government works for them. And I think it's very important to bring the government to the students. We had one idea we were kicking around we wanted to implement was basically an informal town hall setting where students could come in and just voice their concerns, say, hey, I've got this problem, and just talk to Ryan and I. And we'd sit down there like once a month and have it on a nice... So it's on the students' terms, because when you sit back and you actually look, they go, okay, well, there's already stuff in place for people to voice their concerns. And it's not a very comfortable setting for most students. They go, okay, you can go into the Senate meeting, so basically you're the only person there who's not really participating, and you got to kind of try and get on the agenda and that sort of thing. And also, you could also make an appointment with your ASWSU executives, but then you're sitting in the middle of their office, and there's two of them, and there's one of you. I mean, regardless of whether or not they're helping you, it kind of can be a little intimidating. So we're looking at taking that back just a notch, because I think we need to make sure that we're there coming to the students and they don't necessarily have to come to us on our terms so much.
Okay. And you also stated on your website that many members and student leadership aren't in contact with individuals. Just like people being underrepresented, this is also a yearly claim made by the tickets running for office. I think you talked a little bit about what you're going to do to fix this, but are there any other things that you can see your ticket doing once in office that will get people in the student leadership positions?
Well, like when we were talking about the multicultural debate, someone came up and said, hey, I haven't heard from my Senate liaison all year or all semester. And that sort of thing, I think, is just really making sure that the senators do their job and get out there. And if they don't have time to do it, we need to have a group of people who can actually be those liaisons between the government and the groups. We need to make sure that those are open lines of communication, because you won't be able to effectively run things and include people if nobody's talking. So, I mean, one of the ways to do that is also just to sit there as the executives. You've got to set the example. Show you care and show you're out there really trying to make a difference. And I think once you do that, the rest of the ASWSU, the Senate, if there are some unmotivated, because lots of them are good, motivated people, but if people are unmotivated, I think it'll really kind of push them to get in line a little bit more.
Now, are you currently ASWSU senators?
No.
No, we are not.
Okay, are you part of ASWSU at all?
No.
Nope.
What made you want to run from an outsider position?
Well, I think just like, kind of like what we said before, it's just that everybody in there, like lots of times you get the feeling like people on the inside tend to have view things with a different perspective. They might think there's not as big a problem as there is. Come the outside in, it's really difficult. You just don't know what's available. If you're running a club, where do I get money? Where do I get funding? Where are there scholarships available? I think this is something that the student leadership needs to take control of. And I think that that's the reason we ran, because we're like, okay, we're not in the system. We want to actually affect some change, so either we can try and complain, or we can actually step up, like take control and actually try and run for the position to actually affect change from the outside in. And I think that would be a real healthy change for the student leadership.
All right, and you also state that you need to understand what many students go through on a daily basis. What are these things that you're talking about?
Well, lots of times you look at students around campus, and right now it's pretty hard. Like I was saying, I'm a member of this organization. It's called Student Support Services. It's like a federal, just like under the TRIO program. And what that is that basically helps students with advising, counseling, doing their FAFSA, things like that. And it helps them find out what scholarships. It's available to students who are either first-generation college students or on a financial need-based basis. Now, I didn't find that until I was just sitting there. I spent a whole like afternoon hunting around. And the thing is that it shouldn't be that hard. So we're looking to actually try and make the things which are there, try and make them more available, make it more visible. Because lots of cases, if things aren't visible and no one knows about them, they don't exist.
And another program that we've been working to promote in regards to the residential halls is the Freshman Focus Initiative. And what this does is when students come into the dorm for the first time, they can meet with an advisor and they can all sign up for the same gen ed classes. And that way it kind of creates like a study buddy system where, if you're in the same classes, you guys can study for the same tests. And it sets the tone for the pace of the next college career and really gets students involved with their homework and their curricular activities. Studies have shown that students, when they do this, their grades are increased and they're more likely to actually go and attend class. So that's one program we'd like to promote in the residential halls.
Okay. And we've talked a little bit about underrepresented students already, ASWSU being in touch with students and getting students involved. Oftentimes, though, students don't feel like ASWSU listens to or recognizes the needs of the students. Contrasting that with your concerns about underrepresented students, what can you do to make sure all the students feel like their voice can be heard?
Well, exactly. That's kind of part of like what we're doing with the town hall meetings. And part of it is just simply getting out there, getting visible. Because lots of times the student leadership tends to be off in a corner by themselves when it's viewed from the student body. Like, you don't feel like you can walk up to this guy and actually say, hey, man, what's up? I've got a problem. And it really people need to recognize, and that's something we're trying to bring to light here, is that when it comes down to it, we're just normal students just like everybody else. We're no different. We're just simply trying to do this to make a change. So if there is a problem, feel free to come up and inform me, because this is my job as a student body president, would be to voice these concerns.
Okay, so you mentioned a couple times being more visible. But what specifically will you do to be more visible?
Well, one of the things was that. Another thing is just simply when you get out there, just introduce yourself to people. Part of our campaign has just been actually trying to walk around and talk to as many students as possible. Inform, hey, we're running, what concerns do you have? Also, we were looking at joint programming between the three main sections basically at campus, which is the residence halls, the Greek system, and off campus. And lots of times, those people, they just don't quite... they don't quite mesh. And the funny thing is that if you go look at games and that sort of thing, when you get in games like that, people kind of forget their differences and they realize they're all cougars. So what we're looking at doing partially is make sure the ASWSU is visible and putting on programs that kind of include all three. Like, one thing we did was I participated in Relay for Life. I'm an off-campus student, but I was under the McEachran dorm one because a friend of mine is an RA over there. So basically we just sat there and we were like, okay, things like this. When you just get out there, when you're at the game, make sure people see you. Make sure people just realize that you're just a person they can come up to and just talk to and say hi. So when you're out there, just making sure you're introducing yourself and being visible.
And another thing is I have a good friend of mine who's the president of Gannon Goldsworthy Dormitory, and he said that the one thing that they'd like to do is to network all the different halls together. And I think that if we set up a system where we could have all the presidents from each fraternity / sorority and the residential halls all combine and be intertwined, we can network some really great programs between the two of them.
Okay, and you want to make it easier for people to get involved, and I would assume that would both mean involved in government and involved in the school itself. What kind of you've touched on quite a few things already, but what are there other things that will be out there program-wise for students to get involved, even if it's there's a whole bunch of WSU committees that are out there, and how do students even get involved in those to begin with?
Well, that's a good question, you see, and that's exactly one of the reasons why we're running, because, I mean, it's just so, lots of it's just so convoluted, and we're looking at we all want to kind of overhaul that website a bit if we're elected, because I think that if we can get, like, pages set up to just different things, so, like, okay, you're looking at a student, what are your interests? You're looking at doing, okay, I'm in a Greek system. How can I get involved? And like maybe even just a link that says, how can I get involved, okay, in ASWSU, in programs? Because lots of times, if you just even look like at multicultural clubs, now those are real good, because if a student comes across, even from the west side, it can be quite a cultural shock coming just from the west side of the mountains to the east side of the mountains. And my first semester here was a little weird. So I think that making sure that those clubs, those organizations are actually getting out to those people, because it gives them like the stepping stone in between. So it allows them to come down kind of gradually and really gives them a little network of people they can rely on, or sort of a family within the family, so to speak.
Right. And it's no secret that ASWSU president makes a large sum of money each year. Several years ago, ASWSU President Neil Walker was involved in a nationwide survey. Of the public institutions surveyed, the ASWSU president was paid the most. What is the specific amount next year's president will make, and how could you justify such payments?
I don't really know the specific amount he's supposed to make, because that was part of the problem, you see. When we were talking about the financing for campaigns, they have a cap on how much you're supposed to spend, and that's linked to the president's salary. So we've actually been trying to find out a dollar figure, but no one has actually gotten to us with a specific one, because we're like, okay, how much are we allowed to spend? Part of the thing you have to do when you fill out the paperwork is read the laws, the ASWSU laws regarding a thing. It was last year, it was you were allowed to spend 8% of the president's salary. So we go, okay, what's the president's salary? Well, nobody had a good figure for us. And I go, okay. And then after we read through all that, that's when we came in 4 days later, when we get at a candidates meeting, and they go, by the way, we cut it in half. Whatever it was, it's not that anymore. And if give us a few days to run the numbers. All they have to do is find out, like, what 4% of whatever the number is, and they still didn't. Took them probably a week before they gave us an actual dollar figure. So, like, we don't really even know how much they make.
Okay, so can you... Do you have
probably,
an estimate?
It's an upwards of $20,000 at any rate.
Okay.
I think the current one is 21, and I think it might actually be an increase in the 23 range next year, actually. So.
Okay, and what does the vice president make anything?
the same.
Makes the same.
You make, so both of you guys make about 21 to 23,000 a year, so about 46,000 a year go to both of you guys. Now, you don't get paid any benefits or health insurance or anything like that. It's just a straight stipend.
That's what we believe. I mean, like I said, we don't really know.
They don't do a good job of informing us, so, but what we know is what we said.
Okay, so how do you justify $46,000 a year for you two guys?
Well, the thing is, we better be able to justify that, like, by, through our actions. We better be out there. When students have concerns, we better be out there voicing them, because we're the strongest link between the student body and the administration. So, I mean, if we're getting paid $23,000, the students have better be getting what they're paying for. Otherwise, I mean, we're basically just stealing money. So at that point, we got to make sure we're out there talking to the administration. Like, one of the things we touched on was the police patrols that the Board of Regents kind of pushed through. That, we really didn't like that. The fact of the matter is, when you talk about students getting involved, it was like, student body needs to get more involved, more involved. And you go there and you go, well, okay, am I allowed to campaign in the dorms? Just walk around, tell people, hey, I'm running. Well, no, you're not. Because, and the reasoning behind that is that if the dormitory is a private space. And the funny thing is that if it's a private space, police shouldn't be able to patrol it. And there's just these kind of disconnects and, like, bringing things like that to people's attention and getting out there and actually fighting for that.
Right. Now, what's interesting, I guess we could totally get in a philosophical debate on the side about what makes, what parts of it are private, what's public, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
We'll not get into that today.
Yeah.
Though I'd love to. If elected to represent all the students at WSU, what is your major goal for the next 6 months?
I think probably the major goal that we can easily tackle would be just trying to find ways to increase student unity on campus. Because we have certain other things we're doing, like there's a bill we got introduced in the Senate that we're definitely going to be lobbying on, definitely going to be trying to promote within the Washington State Senate, making some phone calls and that sort of thing. But as far as just campus-wide things we like to work for, that's that joint programming. It's that just trying to bring people in to really meet each other and also work with getting the Greeks more visibility at Alive. Because when we walk around talking to them, it's not really – they show people, you know, okay, here's the dormitories. They show them all parts of campus. And then they sit there and they stop showing a Greek row. And I think that for some students, the Greek system is really important. For other students, it doesn't work. I mean, they just can't live with that many people and that sort of thing, and that's fine. But for the students, it helps. We can make sure that it's visible and available for them.
Sure. I always thought it was funny on WSU maps, they'll show the roads where the Greek houses are, but they won't show the Greek
exactly.
houses.
Exactly.
So
yeah, that's something we want to work to change.
Okay. When you leave office in 1 year, what specifically will you have changed about ASWSU making it better for all students?
Well, I think on a more broad scale, not just for the university. Like he said, we're working on the bill that we have in the Senate, and if that goes through...
Well, real quick, what is that bill, just so everybody knows?
It's a bill that's working on freezing tuition rates, so that way you'd be locked in the first time you come in paying, the rate will never be increased throughout the rest of your college career. The bill's number 6631. If you want to get a hold...
6133.
6133. If you want to get a hold of your senator and let him know you support it, that'd be great. You just got to look it up on... WA.gov, I think, is the website.
Access.wa.gov.
Anyways, but the thing with that is that we really feel like that separates us, because we are working above at ASWSU. We're trying to get things that would represent every student, not if it passes not only at this university, but throughout campuses in Washington State.
But yeah, I'm just about, as far as ASWSU is concerned, I think it'd be real important that after this year, if we're elected, that people really feel connected to that, to their student government, that people feel like, because you look, there was only three people, there wasn't even a primary election for president, because nobody even decided no one wanted to run. And I think next year it'd be real good if we had more people who are interested in being involved, who really felt connected to the process.
Okay, and obviously WSU is going to have a new president. Dr. Floyd will be coming in. Have you guys met him yet?
No, I have not. I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully if we get elected, we'll have a nice working relationship, and I think it's good that if the ASWSU can have a change, just like the administration's having a change here.
Right. So do you know how you're going to work? I mean, how are you going to work with an administration that you've actually never met and you don't know what kind of personalities you're going to be working with?
Well, I mean, it's simply just actually go out there and meet them. I mean, lots of times you're forced into positions like that. It's like, well, how are you going to go act during a job interview? You don't know what they're going to ask. Yeah, but you prepare what you need to prepare, and you sit there and you go in and present yourself in the most professional manner possible.
Okay. And I was noticing on Facebook there's a group called Let Scott Stay, which is dedicated to WSU student who violated a school policy 3 times for alcohol violations. Possible punishment for him would be to get suspended from school. I'm curious, do you feel that WSU should abandon alcohol policies?
What do you mean? Alcohol policy is kind of a broad term.
Okay.
Right?
Do you think WSU should abandon policies that would kick people out of school for committing crimes involving alcohol, such as MIP, alcohol in the residence halls, so on?
Well, you know, I just think they need to make sure that when they, because I think it's very important to have guidelines for students to have to follow. But I think that we got to make sure we're looking at the individual student. Like, I know Scott, I mean, I met him before, and he's a pretty good guy. And the thing is also, I was just curious about, because I was read the report he had placed. I didn't know if he actually, it was verified that he was under the influence of alcohol, or if they simply just looked at his eyes and like, okay, well, he looked like he was under the influence. I mean, have they actually breathalyzed him? Scott actually never told me whether one way or the other, but I think we need to make sure we look at reasonable doubt in some of these cases. And also, like, a friend of mine, she works at Safeway, and she went and accidentally rang someone up underage. The cops did a little sting thing. Mm-hmm. And it ended up getting thrown out, but the thing was is that she was complaining that the student conduct board wasn't really taking her side at all. They just simply said, okay, this is what the police said. But I think it's real important that we look at both sides of the issue, look at the student, look at what happened, and make sure that we weigh both sides of the issue, because if we can't just be going off this guilty until proven innocent sort of thing and just taking what the police say and then just going with it.
Okay. So if this person or any person is guilty of three alcohol violations that would be up for suspension, is that something you guys would still fight against?
I don't know. Like I said, I think we just need to make sure that sounds all right, because we need to have guidelines in place. But by the same token, I mean, you need to be making sure that looking at the individual student, not just taking it as a broad scale, oh, you got, that's number three, bye. Because I think lots of times it just kind of gets pushed through like that, and they're not really looking at it. And this is someone's college career you're talking about. This is something really important. And when you look on the grand scheme of things, many times, okay, the kid was underage and he was drinking. It's not that big a deal if he wasn't really hurting anybody. Okay. So I think we just need to make sure we view it in perspective.
All right. Unfortunately, our time is up today. I appreciate both of you guys coming in today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah. Do you have any final parting thoughts on why you should be elected or anything you want to leave the students with?
You know, like I said, we're just really here trying to give a voice to some students who feel that they haven't gotten one, like ourselves. And also, we just really appreciate your vote. We like the opportunity to sit here and fight on your behalf and work for you. So, I mean, if you have any questions, you feel free to go to our website or Facebook group. Also, you could read the endorsement of us in the Evergreen today in the opinion section. And there's a voter guide in there as well.
That website is www.voteforwing.com. There will actually be a direct link on there for elections if you can't find it through the WSU website. And vote tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. The polls open up. So thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Alrighty, once again, that was Ryan Wingfield and Joe Fortunato. Okay, there we go. I wanted to get your guys' names confused. Alrighty, we'll be back with our next tickets here in a minute or so. In the meantime, we're going to hear the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. Listening to the ASWSU Special Election Edition on the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. Get us on the web at www.kzuu.org, and there's the stream on there you can click on. On the telephone, actually, we're not going to do telephone calls today, but if you have any questions that you'd like me to ask, you can hit us on AIM, and you can get that on our website as well. In the studio this half hour, we have Casey Webster and Tommy Simmons. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing very well.
Very, very well.
Good. All right, your website is www.votecaseyandtommy.com. Go ahead and introduce your guys' self and why you're running for ASWSU.
Well, my name is Casey Webster. I'm running for ASWSU president.
My name is Tommy Simmons. I'm running for ASWSU vice president.
Now, why we wanted to, you know, great question. That's what we've been asked a lot. But one of the biggest things is, you know, we feel that we're going to make a difference. We are very passionate students, and we know that, you know, a lot of our concerns are shared by a lot of students around this university. And, you know, from our experiences that we feel that we, you know, we're going to change a lot of them and, you know, make a lot of students happier along the way.
And, you know, also experience, you know, I hate to use the cliche of experience. It's kind of beaten into the ground, but, I mean, it really does apply to us. Casey's been, you know, on the Senate for the last 2 years. This year he's the Senate pro tem. Myself, I'm, you know, been involved with the ASWSU Student Entertainment Board. I'm the director this year. We bring a lot of experience to the table. And, you know, like Casey said, we bring the passion, though, too. I mean, passion is the key thing. You can have all the experience and all the ideas in the world, world, but it means nothing without the passion to drive it. We really want this, and really we really want to make the difference. So I think that's what really sets us apart.
Great. Let's go ahead and get into this. On your website, you write, as president and vice president of ASWSU, establishing a good relationship between the students and the new administration will be our number one goal. Have you already met with Dr. Floyd?
Actually, yes. I've met him a few times, just briefly. Obviously, he's got a lot of people to meet. But first impressions from this guy, you know, he walks into a room, and there's a lot of, you know, big-name administrators that you figure he'd go talk to first, but you know what? I was with a group of about five or six students, and he beelined right over to us. Spent about 10, 15 minutes just talking to us, and thanks for showing up, guys. I really appreciate this. And, you know, that just shows a lot. I mean, we've already done our research on him in the past, and, you know, everywhere he's gone, he's been a very student-friendly guy, which is exactly what this university needs, because, you know, a lot of people have felt distances from Rollins, whether or not you agree with what he's done or not, you know. We do need someone who will interact with students, and right now, I mean, he hasn't even started yet, and he's already proved that he does.
And, you know, whoever gets elected, whoever's the next ASWSU president and vice president is critical for this relationship, because they're really going to set the pace for the relationship between the students and Dr. Elson Floyd. And so really, we have to really, I mean, like we said on the website, we're making it our number one goal that we're going to step in right away. And we're going to facilitate the change that we would like to see in that relationship and really kind of set the pace for the relationship that we would like to see between the students and the president. And, you know, like I said, that's our number one goal. And we feel like it should be for whoever gets elected.
Okay, what specific steps have you outlined to making this goal a reality?
Well, when Tommy and I first sat down, we talked about this. You know, what student groups are feeling a bit ignored by the administration, or, you know, fairly untreated by, you know, maybe the administration in the past. And we've already outlined what we do with the first meeting we have. We sit down with Dr. Floyd, you know, whether that's inviting, you know, those student leaders with us to say, you know, here's the face of these students, and these are their concerns that they have for you. I mean, hearing it from us is one thing, but at the same time, we want to get as many students engaged with him as possible so he can hear, you know, straight from them as opposed to kind of going through us as first.
Okay. Could you share a couple of those steps that you have outlined as far as that first meeting?
Right. And okay. Well, as far as what we want to do to help, you know, have the student voice be heard by him, one of the big things that, you know, Casey's been trying to do all year is set up roundtable discussions with V-Lane Rollins. And that's one thing that we want to start right off the bat. We want to get at least a couple of those each semester to where it creates an atmosphere where students can come, voice their opinions, ask questions, and really, you know, have interaction with the president. As well as we really want to encourage him to get involved with committee programming, with different committees under ASWSU and, you know, within the Greek community, the residence hall committee, just to kind of get a feel of what these committees are about, what they do, and who they are as students. So,
okay, you also write on your website, we want to increase interaction between the president and the students by creating a comfortable atmosphere in which students may voice their opinions and concerns, such as roundtable discussions, specifically what you're talking about there. But isn't that the job of ASWSU, you guys, to represent the students to the to the administration, if that's the way you want to have the information transferred from student to Dr. Floyd, why would we need ASWSU?
Well, I mean, ASWSU, like exactly like you just said, we are the voice of the students. Now, you know, it is one thing for us to go talk to Dr. Floyd or Dr. Rollins, as we have in the past. But at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, it is more crucial that there are more students there. Mm-hmm. Because the more students we get involved at these meetings, the more students are going to care about coming to these future meetings and taking more active roles and participating, whether or not if we have, like, an open forum. You know, Tommy and I can only ask so many questions before, you know, we need just, you know, students who have had experiences here and say, well, this is what my experience has been. How can you help change this directly? And that is what we want to focus on importantly is, you know, it's a given. It's a given that the president and vice president will meet with him, but it's basically who we're going to take along with us when we do.
Okay, your ticket also argues that getting multicultural students to WSU and keeping them here is pivotal. Is it unfair to read into that statement that it is not pivotal to retain all students who come to WSU?
Well, it is, but specifically within the multicultural community, the students of color have a retention rate of 50%, which is terrible. I mean, when compared to universities of kind of our same size and stature, that's something that we feel like we really have to address right away, is addressing this retention rate with multicultural students. And, you know, a couple of things that we really want to work on that we really feel that's going to help retention is recruitment within the multicultural fraternities and sororities. We feel like brotherhood and sisterhood and just creating that social bond within those communities is really going to help retention rates. I know myself, I'm Greek, and the traditional Greek chapters have great retention rates, and I think really for that reason is because it creates that social bond with a group of, 50 of your peers, and that's, something that we really want to address. It's something that's got brought up within the debates, as well as creating a better interaction between the traditional Greek chapters and the multicultural and fraternities and sororities. Excuse me.
Okay, so you say that it's pivotal to maintain to retain multicultural students, but why is it pivotal?
Well, you come to WSU, and this is my opinion here. You come to WSU, for an experience and an education. Now, I'm a firm believer that an education stems, way beyond the classroom. And I think it's important, especially when a university claims that, we're world-class face-to-face. Well, prove that and start, showing us that, you do want to invest in culture and you do want to invest in, what we have right now, because there is a lot of concerns right now that we have the motto, but we're not really portraying the message as well as we should be. And I guess that's a bit hypocritical that we do have that, but we need to take the next step and actually make that.
Okay, and then you also write, we will make sure that when it comes to our legislative agenda, diversity will be a top priority. What specific things will students see around campus that will prove that it's a top priority to you?
Well, first and foremost, we've met with a lot of international students, and one big problem that they're having here that everyone's been talking about lately is the high cost of insurance. Now, that's kind of something we can really tackle at the legislative level, make that more of an issue there to kind of help trickle down into Washington State University, which because they're a huge part of this, as far as world-class face-to-face thing, and if we're not really treating them fairly as far as kind of like nickel and dime them as far as the insurance thing goes, that's exactly where we're going to lose them. Now, another thing is, too, that we also want to get, as far as funding goes, we also want to, maybe help get the state legislator involved in a little bit more fundraising for these multicultural conferences that we have, such as, the Vibes Conference, for example, or, CASH and the other ones that we have. And those right now that we think are just absolutely pivotal as far as this recruitment and retention. And if we can get as much help from, not just the university, but the legislator, that's the support we need, because we can only do so much. If we want to get everyone involved, we have to hit that next level.
You want to work with PAN and IFC to help achieve fix the problems that are facing the Greek community. What are the top three problems that you believe that ASWSU could help tackle?
I think number one, just kind of connectivity with other groups on campus. I feel like, with the Residence Hall Association and the Greek community and the multicultural community, all those different groups are kind of hesitant to work with each other on different programs and things of that such. So one thing that we really want to do is we really want to increase the interaction through programming. We really feel like through programming, that's something that we can really do to kind of create the interaction and kind of bridge the gap between these groups. I mean, they mentioned it in the Evergreen today. But just an example is philanthropies. I mean, the traditional Greek chapters, they do philanthropies. They raise money for charities and whatnot. And why can't, it would be a lot more productive. It would raise a lot more money if they worked with other groups, and it would also kind of bridge that gap. That's one thing that we really want to work with. Also, number two, recruitment numbers have been going down significantly, especially within the men. And that's something that, it's important that the ASWSU president and vice president don't tackle these issues on their own, but it has to be a collaborative effort between ASWSU, IFC, and Pan-Atlantic. And that's one thing that we bring to the table, is we have a great relationship with those groups. And, we can work together on them and combine our resources rather than spreading them apart. Another thing that's been brought up that we really want to address is alumni support. Alumni support is something, especially within my fraternity, that, it's kind of been non-existent within the past, 6 years or so. And, it's something that we could really benefit from. And, I mean, we have a Super Bowl MVP as an alumni of our chapter, Mark Rippon. And, as we have some prominent alumni, and getting them to donate. Now, I mean, I'm just using my chapter as an example. But, really working with the WSU Foundation, using our poll with ASWSU on getting the WSU Foundation to create a more accessible account in where the alumni can directly donate to their chapters.
Your ticket also wants to work with those in the residence halls and on campus apartments. During your campaigning, what were the top two issues that you found facing those students living on campus?
Well, number one is obviously, pretty recently too, is the police and, you know, where they're allowed to go and whatnot. And we, you know, we've talked to a lot of we've been to a lot of Hull government meetings, and everybody there has asked, well, what is your guys' stance on this? Now, you know, we talked to a few of the RAs, and yeah, they like it. But at the same time, it's like, where do you draw that line? Because, you know, they are allowed in the hallways, but they're not allowed in the rooms. But a lot of the times, you know, the hallways and the rooms are, you know, intercepted by just a small door where, you know, a lot of students, you know, still have to walk from their bedroom to the bathroom, and, hey, there's a cop right there. But at the same time, you know, to tackle that with the Board of Regents, because they did vote on that this year, we've decided that, you know, one big tool that you really need to utilize there is the student regent, because, you know, we can only do so much as voicing our concerns to them, but at the same time, we do have a student voting on that. And, you know, had this been brought up to them a lot sooner, you know, maybe they wouldn't have voted that way, but at the same time, they would have portrayed, you know, to the Board of Regents that, you know what, hey, the students don't really like this, and maybe we should go about this another way.
Okay, so that would be one. What would be the other issue?
I guess just kind of the same thing that we've heard at every other debate is, well, how are you going to include us in, you know, with the rest of the community? Because the question that was asked at everyone is like, you know, how are you going to get the multicultural, you know, community involved with this group? And the same thing at the Greek and same thing at the RHA debate is like, well, how are you going to get us involved? And everyone wants to get involved. And I think that's where it comes into play for us is to, you know, facilitate that environment to where they can do that. Now, I know that's, you know, kind of what everybody's saying, but we have the idea of take the retreat at the beginning of the year and extend that invitation to everyone around campus. You know, whatever group you're in, if you want to come and you want to partake in this, we're going to invite you and we're going to allow it to, because we think that the relationships are best going to start from the beginning of the year so they can transcend throughout the year.
Okay, and so we've talked about the Greek houses, we've talked about residence halls, not on-campus apartments, but I didn't really see anything on your website specifically dealing with off-campus students, which make up about 50% of the WSU students. Mm-hmm. Does that mean there's no issues you need to tackle?
You know, I'm off-campus, and I think the biggest problem is that, you know, everyone faces is whether or not they see, because I've also been to a lot of these better neighborhoods for Pullman, and this is an organization that are made up of students that live on campus, you know, residents throughout Pullman, and, you know, the mayor and everybody in the administration there, but they're also made up of people that, you know, rent, they're, you know, renters and stuff like that, that one of the biggest problems that we have are a lot of students feel like these are, you know, a lot of these people are slumlords in a way, and the fact that they don't, you know, they're out to make a dime, and yeah, they are, but we really need to make sure that those living conditions and the students are aware of their rights to say, well, you know, what can I do to make this happen, you know, to fix this? Because I know, me personally, I've lived in a lot of houses that I've gotten picked on in the past as far as, you know, from the city, and a lot of the times you're like, well, you know, shouldn't my landlord be the one responsible for cleaning this up or fixing this, which they haven't been in the past, and I guess just getting that knowledge out there and knowing, like, what the, you know, landlord-tenant laws are and, you know, emphasizing that to these students is really important because a lot of them don't know that.
Okay, so now you are in Senate?
Yes.
And
yes, I am. Sorry.
And you are part of ASWSU and the SEB?
Yeah.
So you don't vote on Senate issues then?
No.
But you do?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm pointing at both Casey and Tommy here. So my question to you then is, the ASWSU had a housing commission and it was banished. Why? I mean, if what you're saying is true and we need this kind of resource out there, why would an ASWSU vote to get rid of it?
Well, when I got on Senate last year, I got on there probably about, this time about a year ago, actually. And, well, I guess with that said, too, it was, I talked to Mike King about this, and him and Dan Marr, which is one of our advisors over in ASWSU, they told me that the people that were doing it weren't doing a good job. So they just said, you know what, you know, get out of here. And, you know, I don't know the whole story there, but that's what they told me as far as why they got rid of it, is because they felt it wasn't doing much. Now, you know, that's still debatable. And I know right now Zach and Janine are working on the housing commission report for this. I mean, there are still, now they're trying to revive that now, but you know, it took a pretty good hit last year, you know, as far as pretty much just abolishing it completely. But at the same time, you know, which may be a good thing because, you know, I don't know what really happened to it in the past, but to build it up from the ground up again, you know, certainly something great, and that's going to be a huge project of whoever's elected next year who's going to take that on.
Okay, and one issue that's very unique to your ticket, and I think it's sort of a breath of fresh air to actually have unique ideas, because every ticket seems to argue a lot of the exact same things.
Yeah, right.
It's cool to have some issues that are that will set you aside, set you apart from everybody else. And this one particular idea is for the concert pass. And like I said, almost every ticket is harping on all these things. They promise this, they promise that. We want diversity. In a lot of cases, most multicultural groups will probably tell you they believe it's all lip service because they're like, you haven't been coming to our meetings for a full year, and now all of a sudden, at election season, here you're showing up and you want our votes. I mean, it's all a game. It's all lip service. But here's an idea that you think you might be able to implement. Could you real briefly tell us what is this Ticketite concert pass idea?
Well, I mean, as my experience within the Student Entertainment Board, I've been involved for 3 years now, and obviously the biggest criticism with the SEB is that we don't bring the A-list artists, and the fact of the matter is they're expensive. We have a $32,000 concerts budget, and that is not even close to what we need to facilitate these A-list shows. The idea was, I mean, I came up with this idea, and it's kind of evolved since last summer, but the idea is, you know, an optional concerts fee during registration, much like a sports pass, and then you would get a ticket to every A-list show. But what is kind of neat about it is that, you know, kind of from a business perspective, is that we leave it open to where we can also sell a certain number of tickets to the general public, to where if we're bringing in these A-list artists and we can sell these tickets to the general public at a pretty fair price, then we can also help replenish the budget, meaning that we can be bringing in A-list names all year long. And, you know, it's cool. It's a neat idea. The reason being because it's optional, and then the students that have it, if they don't like who we're bringing, they can sell their ticket, and they can legitimately make their money back off selling one ticket. If it's an A-list artist, $40 is, I mean, that's pretty much a general price that you're going to pay anywhere.
Okay, and the Kookster.com website went through and rated each of the candidates and looked at the issues as well. And they had a criticism saying that the idea of the concert pass is interesting and might work if done right, though it must be said that the claim that the pass would let students see numerous A-list artists throughout the year for only $40 is way overpromising and clearly not possible. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's what I'm just talking about, is the fact that we can actually replenish this budget through selling tickets to the general public. I mean, that's the idea around it, and I mean that's where it's evolved. And to say that it's not possible, I mean, if you want to debate that with me, I mean, I have probably the more knowledge about this than anybody at this school. I've been involved with this. That's the reason why I'm the director of the Student Entertainment Board. Not to sound cocky, but I mean, this is my forte. This is my passion. This is what I love doing. This is what I want to do when I get out of college. And I've looked at this. I've talked to administrators such as Dan Meyer about this. I mean, I have done my research on this, and not only is it possible, but if we get in, it will happen. And it's like you said, it's a unique idea. It's something that can set us apart from the different candidates. It's a breath of fresh air, and it's something that can really help, you know, better this quality of life here at WSU. I mean, just bringing in those cool shows that you can, something else that you can do on a Wednesday night other than, you know, sit and watch Survivor or whatever. So,
realistically, how many people do you think will get one of these passes?
Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, if we do it, I'm an advertising major, and if we do it, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to make sure that there's not a single concerts pass that is not, you know, sold. If I can get in and explain the idea and explain the numbers to different groups on campus, there's no reason why people would want to get it, because it is a good idea. And, you know, I mean, if we do it, when we get in, I'm, you know, it's something that I'm going to advertise, that I'm going to market. I'm going to start it right at the beginning, right when we get it going, and I'm going to have time to pump it. And realistically, I don't think that there's any way that we're not going to get rid of everyone that we want to sell.
In terms of the ASWSU endowment, you state that you want to help build the fund. What kind of things are you going to do to help build that?
Go ahead.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of ideas, and that something that has been started. First of all, I guess kind of a lot of students really don't know what the endowment is. ASWSU started their own with Mike and Isaac, and initially they started $25,000. Now, that I believe, I don't know how much they actually are putting into it this year. Maybe they're matching it again. I don't know. But we feel that, you know, this is certainly something like we can not really leave as our legacy, but this is the thing we want to do as our long-term goal. This endowment's going to be here way long after any of these three tickets. And at the same time, with such things going on as, you know, Cub renovation and, you know, Martin Stadium renovation, students are paying a lot of money. Now, we want this thing, you know, in about 5-6 years can maybe help really, you know, suppress a lot of those student fees that we really have to pay. Now, some ideas that we have for that, you know, fundraisers. You know, Tommy's put on programs, and you know, he's the guru as far as that goes. And you know, without like going after the students for this money, you know, we put on a lot of programs within ASWSU this year that have raised money, and a lot of people do want to give to this university. And even if we can just get a couple dollars at a time and put it in this thing long term, you know, it's going to be great. And we this is something we really believe in, and it hasn't really been utilized a lot.
And on the issue of student advising, do you have specific ideas about how to fix some of the complaints?
Well, I've worked in the Student Advising and Learning Center for about 2 years now, and a lot of people come in just, especially around during registration time, just absolutely stressed out. They don't know what's going on. They're like, I can't meet with my advisor. And that's a problem here. I mean, if you want to keep students here, this kind of goes back to the retention thing. This is a problem. A lot of students leave because they're just so frustrated with a lot of things, mainly their advisors, because a lot of these departments don't, you know, stress advising, like proper advising, enough as they should. Now, this is kind of an idea. This is the SALC has already come up with a plan. Now, their biggest thing that they need is student support on it. And the plan is that every freshman and uncertified student will be advised within the SALC. And, you know, I guess I'm going to be biased because I've worked there, but every student that has come in stressed and, you know, has met with an advisor has come out feeling so much better, and, you know, because they've gotten proper advising. And these people there know that they can do that, and that's huge, especially to, you know, new incoming students that really are having trouble picking up on the system. And if we can make that better from them from day one, you know, that'll just make their experience there a lot better.
And I'm a comm major myself, and I can vouch that, you know, I mean, advising is just, it's a frustrating thing. I mean, when I was a freshman, I came in here, you know, it was just, I got 10 minutes to meet with my advisor, and I had no clue what I was doing. Probably the best thing that I did is learn how to view my and understand my degree audit. And I think also for any student, I mean, that's one of the best things that they can do, because really they can set their agenda themselves. They can know what they need to take. They can understand what they've taken and what they need to take. And I think that's another thing, is really trying to just start from the freshmen, just teaching them how to use their degree audit, and really, you know, because I mean, really, it's not that difficult of a process, and I mean, it can really kind of help them figure things out for themselves as well.
Okay, so far we've talked about diversity, the Greek system, the residence halls, and your quest to help alleviate the issues of the students. Oftentimes, though, students don't feel like ASWSU listens to or recognizes the concerns or the needs of the students. Contrasting that with your concerns about specific student groups, what can you do to make sure that the voices of all the students are heard?
Well, and you know, you're going to hear this a lot from probably every candidate that comes in there, but get your face out there and listen. You know, my experience with ASWSU is, you know, ASWSU does a lot of talking. At the same time, the most important thing you can do is go out there and listen to what students have to say, because, you know, the frustrated ones are going to tell you exactly how it is and what their problem is, and that's the most important thing we can do, because, you know, going back to this again, we are the voice of the students to the administration among a lot of other places. And, you know, the ASWSU president, vice president can talk to a lot of people that, you know, the average student can't. So it is our job to know exactly what that voice is, even if it's just a small group that are having, a specific problem that not everyone is. We have to address and see every student, you know, whether if it's a large problem or a small problem, and that's really hard to do. But at the same time, you know, I think we're the two most dedicated people as far as going out and finding those problems.
And also, you know, just little things like, you know, for example, the International Student Council, they held a coffee hour, invited all the candidates, and they had people coming up, you know, come in and ask us questions, voice their concerns and whatnot. Just things like that is great. And that's where, you know, we would reach out to them through our campus outreach and just encourage them to have programs like this, to where they can kind of voice their opinions, ask questions. And that goes for every community, you know, as far as the multicultural community, the Greek community. One of the things that we really want to do within the Greek community is just have them invite us over for dinner once a semester. I mean, it's as easy as that. We got to eat, you know. So it's you know, that's, and also that's one of the great things about campaigning, is like when we get out on the mall and we're out there shaking hands, meeting people, you really do see that people really do care. People really are frustrated with different concerns, and they're not afraid to voice it with you if you create make yourself visible. And that's one of the things that's really kind of opened my eyes to this whole process, is that, you know what, people really do care. People say that people don't care about the issues or ASWSU, and that's absolutely not true. People really do. And so, I mean, it's increasing our visibility and just making ourselves accessible to the students.
Okay, and you know, I guess if I had a dollar every time somebody told me that, you know, I would probably not have to have a degree. I'd be pretty rich. You know? Best to go to the Bahamas. Right. You know, I mean, we had candidates several years ago that used to call the third floor of the Cub back when we used to have a Cub building up there on campus. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but it looks like a bombed out building now. But anyway, when they used to call it the Ivory Tower because it was all government stuff was up on the third floor, sort of out of the way. Nobody'd ever get there. And they're like, well, we'll come out of the Ivory Tower. We'll be down on the first floor. We'll be out on the mall. We'll make ourselves seen. We'll make ourselves known. But yet, every single year, people complain about the same thing. So what you say, make yourself seen, make yourself known, listen to people. But how will you get to the people to begin with?
Well, I think people that know Tommy and myself, you know, our personality really isn't like the stereotypical, you know, person that, you know, people may have seen up in the Ivory Tower years ago. You know, we're out. We're talking to people all the time. We're very approachable people, and that's the most important part. I mean, granted, you know, we do plan on going out to them, but if we can't provide an environment for them to come to us, then we've already failed before we even started. And I think that's, you know, that's how Tommy and I, you know, have decided, wow, you know, let's run together. It's because our personalities. I mean, we are outgoing, very friendly people. I mean, granted, you know, especially during election time, everyone's got enemies. But at the same time, we've been out there already. You know, we've been out not campaigning. I mean, this was way early on that, you know, we've already been out talking to a lot of people, you know, about issues, not just for the campaigning purposes, but because we are student leaders and that is our job right now. So I guess to kind of answer that question to say that, you know what, we already have established that we have that personality and that mentality, and that's the best thing you can judge off.
Okay, it's no secret that the ASWSU president makes a large sum of money every year. Several years ago, ASWSU President Neil Walker was involved in a nationwide survey of the public institutions surveyed. The ASWSU president was paid the most. What is the specific amount what's the specific amount next year's president will make, and how do you justify such payments?
You know, I think right now it's like a little over 24. I think next year it's going to go a little over 25. Now, you know, it isn't. I know Zach and Janine this year, they took a pay cut. So, you know, and that's certainly something Tommy and I are going to like certainly look at, because at the same time, you know, we are paying SNA fees. And to be realistic about it, yeah, you know, I'll be completely honest with you, it is a great sum of money. And, you know, you even look at some of the other perks too, and it's like, wow. But we have also looked at those perks. Like right now, I think this year they were scheduled about $5,000 for a cell phone budget. I mean, really? I mean, do you need that much money? But at the same time, to justify that, you know, everyone says this is a full-time job. But at the same time, we're not going to look at it as a job. You know, we're going to look at it as something, you know, that we are passionate about doing. And, you know, it's certainly going to help alleviate a lot of our costs next year, but we are going to work well. Sorry, I'm getting some feedback there. We are going to work well over, I mean, gosh, 60 hours a week I plan on working next year. And it's like we're going to be out of the office so much. And, I mean, granted, you know, that is certainly something that everyone, you know, hates to debate. But at the same time, you know, it's a bonus in our opinion. But at the same time, that is certainly not the reason we're doing it.
You know, and just touching on that, you know, that's everybody. There's been a lot of opinions voiced about that, and it is a large sum of money. I think the biggest thing, you know, Casey, you've talked about that. I think that the people, some people perceive that as, oh, that's the only reason they're doing it. And now that's absolutely not the case. I mean, you know, Casey could easily just graduate and be making, you know, more than that the next year. That's definitely not the case. And I think the biggest thing is earn it, earn that money, you know, earn that pay. Just, you know, don't limit yourself. Don't, you know, don't just be there for the free ride and just, you know, making the cash. Earn that money. You know, put the hours in, put the time in, put the work in, put the blood, sweat, and tears in it, and, you know, earn that money. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, it is. We're working for the students, and I mean, it is a huge sum of money. I mean, I'm not gonna deny it. You know, it would be nice to have it. Okay. You know, but.
So if elected to represent all the students of WSU, what would be your major goals in the first 6 months?
Well, you know, I read the Evergreen today. We were quoted saying, you know, we're going to wake up Thursday morning and go to work. So, I mean, the fact that we already have our agenda, you know, already set out. And I think a lot of people don't, really see what goes on in the summer. But what you do in the summer is the biggest thing. Now, the first 6 months, I think, you know, if you don't have what you're doing by then, you've already failed the students. Now, you know, like I said, Tommy and I are going to start before really our term even begins, and that's, you know, getting this help out with the multicultural retreat, which we want to also include with RHA and the Greek community, which we kind of already discussed. But a lot of these things for next year, you got to start planning now. And we are. And that's the biggest part, I guess.
Okay. When you leave office in 1 year, what specifically will you have changed about ASWSU making it better for all the students?
I think it's important because right now it's a transition time. We're in a transition time as ASWSU, as a university, with the Cub being gone and, you know, with the president, new president coming in. I think the biggest thing that we really want to change is just the visibility and accessibility of ASWSU. We really want to better reach out to the different communities on campus and make ourselves accessible and, you know, create atmospheres and environments to where they can come to us and we can come to them, actually, and they can, you know, they can voice their opinions to us and they can, they can ask us questions, they can give us their feedback, so we can really fight for them and, you know, really, really have a solid stance on the issues that really matter to the students here. That's number one.
All right. Casey Webster, Tommy Simmons. Sorry. So once again, that's Casey Webster, Tommy Simmons. Their website is www.votecaseyandtommy.com. I want to give you guys this last opportunity to say whatever you'd like to part with for our listeners.
I just want to say, you know, to the listeners, regardless if you vote for us tonight or tomorrow or Wednesday, I really just want to encourage everybody to get out there and vote. I mean, it's really important that, you know, if you really want to have these issues that matter to you tackled, then research the candidates, see which ones are best for you, and just get out there and vote for them. Let your voice be heard, because it really is important. I mean, we hear that people don't care about ASWSU, and that's not true. We know that people care, but show it. Go out there and vote, regardless if it's for us. I mean, obviously we hope it is, but get out there and vote. Let your voice be heard.
You know, and I just want to say too, I mean, we've been on this whole, you know, election journey with Christopher Carl, Mike Kirk, Joe Fortunato, and Ryan Wingfield. And, you know, I just want to say, as stressful as this has been, you couldn't have found three people who are doing, you know, an honest job like we are. I mean, last year, there's no surprise, got a little bit out of control in mudslinging. But we've done a great job this year to keep it fair, keep it clean, and I think that's the biggest thing that we've all done for the students.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And this is, you're listening to the PES on KCUU 90.7 FM. We are having a special ASWSU President, Vice President Election Edition. Right now, the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. Following our final election coverage, we'll be with Chris and Mike in a couple minutes. Stay tuned.